Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Find ourselves in John chapter 9 this morning. If you want to make your way there, John chapter 9, we'll look at the first 12 verses together. I actually took a moment, just a moment, and thought about doing all of chapter 9. That was my plan. And then I ran a couple of verses, and then I changed the plan. Food would have got cold if I tried to do all chapter 9. Anyway, chapter 9, 1 through 12. We're entering into another miracle here. The man born blind. There are some things in this life that we know, right? We're sure of. We know. And there are some things that we know we don't know. We're sure we don't know. But for most of it, we kind of stand in between there. There are things we are unsure of. Maybe we think we know, right? There's things we know, but we don't actually know. Right? There's things we don't know, but we actually do know. I'll try to be less confusing the rest of the day. I've used this example in the youth with my kids, and it's a math concept. It's the concept of infinity. Infinity, we know, is the largest number. That's what we call it. We call it infinity because we can't count there, right? Just start now, never get there. You can just count forever. Do we know there's different versions of infinity? You're like, he's lost his mind. Well, if you start counting, 1, 2, 3, you'd never stop. But also, there's an infinite amount of numbers between the number 1 and 2. You could add decimal places forever and never get to 2. So infinite possibilities between 1 and 2 and an infinite numbers. We might have thought we knew what infinity was. I thought I did. So there are things we know, but sometimes that changes. And Jesus is going to hang out there a little bit this morning in regards to our sin and our suffering, as we're going to talk about this blind man. And he's going to ask us to think about things that maybe we don't normally think about and maybe we think we don't really know. That's where he's going to stand this morning. Three parts: whose sin, the miracle, and seeing is seen. John chapter 9, 1 through 12. Let's stand together as we read God's word. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sinned. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he's like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how are your eyes open?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning. We thank you for your holy word. Help us dive in together with open hearts and open minds, ready to apply whatever you have for us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we ended last week with Jesus saying, before Abraham was, I am. Then the crowd picked up stones because they knew what he was saying. We said from this moment on, everything happens with the cross in view in this Gospel of John. It is coming. Really, here, chapters 8 and 9 are meant to be read together. I hope you've taken a moment or in your busy week to read them, chapters 8 and 9. In chapter 8, it's Jesus in the temple. That's where we were at. And he was telling people who he is. Many descriptions we looked at. The Son of Man and the Son of God and I am He. One of these descriptions was the light of the world. So chapter 8 is describing that Jesus is the light of the world. And chapter 9 is this light stepping out of the temple and into the world. Where are we in this gospel as a whole? Jesus has left the temple. The temple's where he's been teaching. The temple is where we turned his couple of days of teaching in the several weeks, namely 6 here, studying this teaching. And now he's leaving the temple and he sees a blind man. We're going to spend a couple of weeks with this interaction with this blind man. And it'll include the Pharisees again. It's going to include not the temple, but a synagogue. And it's going to include Jesus revealing many, many more deep truths about himself, including that he is God. And it's going to include more threats of arrest and death. The Good Shepherd and I and the Father are one, and Lazarus and the anointing by Mary, and then the triumphal entry, which means we're in the last week of the life of Jesus before the cross. We've been in the temple, and those things I just mentioned is where we're headed, and in between, a blind man. So let's dive in. Whose sin? At some point after leaving the temple, he sees a blind man, and we have a good idea of where he sees him. Blind men and others who could not labor, the only way to make a living was to live off the charity of others. Really, they're shunned out of Jewish life, so to speak. They can't interact with one another. They're seen as unclean, so they don't have much in the way outside of begging. If you had to beg to survive, there are a few places you would go, common sense places. The marketplace was a good place. It's where people congregate and it's where people have money. Another place, and likely where we are in the beginning of this text, is near the entrance to the temple. Not the building, but the Temple Mount. So think Temple Mount, and then you got an inner courtyard, and then you got the inner building with the walls, and then inside that you got the inner Holy of Holies. So somewhere around the entrance to the Temple Mount is where the beggars would come because people passing them by were religious. If you were headed into the temple, you were religious. You were Jewish. This means the people passing by were required by their faith to take care of this man. So that's why I hang out there. So that's where we are. Jesus notices the man. He notices him in such a way that his disciples notice. That's where we are in the text. They ask a question. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They assume sin caused his blindness. We hear that. In one aspect, they are correct. The sins of Adam and Eve led to a fallen world that now in its fallenness allows for blindness and crippled and sickness and all these other things that we wouldn't have to deal with if it wasn't for sin. One aspect true, but that's not what they're asking. Why do they assume sin in his life or in his parents led to his blindness? That's a part of the Jewish tradition. It's a part of this culture during this time. It is thought that if something was wrong with you, it's because of something you did. Now, we know this generally to be true. We call it cause and effect and action and reaction. There's always consequences for the things we do. I think probably don't even do this anymore, but when you were little and had chicken pox, it's because you were locked in the room with your siblings who had chicken pox. That's how we took care of that thing back then. That was the action-reaction. That was the consequence. You broke your arm because you rolled your bike off the front porch. Action-reaction. That one might be mine. Generally true, we know this, but also not always true, not even close. We know this because of our lives lived. You may have cancer because of cigarettes and things like that, and you also may have cancer with no action by you at all. You may have a heart attack because you are double what a healthy weight is considered to be and never exercise and only eat grease. And you may have a heart attack tonight with no warning sign at all. We know this. Our lives lived reveal, it is not always true. Jesus in our text reveals it. What's he say? Jesus answered, "It's not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." So first Jesus says it's not from sin. Now, the battles in your life may very well be from your sin. There are things that are our fault. We think relationships being broken, and they're broken because of your lust or your adultery, then that is on you. But also, everything is not your fault. We live in a fallen world. We have to deal with what that means daily in our lives. Our struggles daily come from these things. So we need to hear the reason Jesus gives for this man's plight. He has not been blind since birth because of sin, but that the works of God may be displayed in him. That's tough. Now, some of us in here have real struggles in this room, right? Or other members we know that aren't here, or our loved ones, or our friends. So we need to understand what Jesus is saying here. What he is saying is that we will go through things here that we will have no control over. It isn't about what we've said or done. It isn't about certain sin or decision. It just is. Sometimes pain just is. Sometimes cancer just is. Sometimes your eyes begin to fail you because. Why? You didn't cause it, but why is it happening? Why are my loved ones gone? Why am I suffering? Why? We could go on. Jesus says, but that the works of God may be displayed. Now, what does that mean? It means many things. It may mean that it's growing something within you. Romans 5:3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It may be that he's revealing your faith to the world. Job kind of faith. 1 Peter 5:10, after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, will have these things happen. It may be that he's preparing you to walk with others. James talks about this walking with others as a Christian, as someone who says they have faith. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You went through it. And now you help someone else through it. It may be that he's trying to wake you up. We see this in reality in the lives around us. We see this all over Scripture. He wants you to wake up. We see this in the life of Paul in Acts 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, that's following Jesus, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, now, as he went on his way, that's a specific play on words. If he found anybody following the way of Jesus, now Paul's going his own way. He approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Paul's wake-up call came through being blinded so he could see. Paul's wake-up call was to change the death threats to Christians into being a Christian pointing to Jesus. Whatever it is in our lives, we can be absolutely certain that it's being used 1,000 different ways, and it is for God's glory and for the good of those who love Him. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. If the Word of God says He will use all things you go through, and it does, then we really have a question to answer. Do we believe the Word of God? Through the sickness and the pain and the doubt, through the depression and the sadness and the anger, through it all, do we believe the Word of God? If we believe the Word of God, then we will run to Him. We will run to others. We will see this thing through. We will make sure no one is on their own. If not running to God with the problems that only God can take care of, that only God can manage, that only God can see us through, if we don't come to Him then really we're living like we do not believe His Word. Jesus looks at this man and then to the disciples and says, what he goes through is not his fault, but that God may be displayed. What does our walk reveal of God to the world? That the God of all things should be run from? Cannot be trusted? I hope not. If so, turn back to Him today. Displayed in our faith, we're with Him no matter what. The end is better with Him no matter what. Displayed in our willingness to seek others, to help others. I've been there. I know what they carry. Maybe even displayed through our healing. Everyone who believes in the Son is healed eventually. It just isn't always here. That person you lost has now been healed, does not suffer. But sometimes healed here, but always for God's glory and always for our benefit. Let's see the healing in our text, the miracle. We have a miracle in our pages this morning. This man's healing to come was on earth. It was for God's glory, but instead of glory revealed through faith remaining in the suffering, glory was revealed through the works of God on display. Jesus says something about these works. Verse 4. We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Work during the day because the night is coming. What is he referring to? Well, it's his death. The cross is coming. The time spent with the light of the world, walking here and teaching here. He must do the things God has for him while he is still here. When the night comes, it will be too late. He is the light of the world as long as he is in the world. That's strange. Who is the light now then? You, me, all who believe. It is our calling in this world. Reflect the light of the Son of God in our lives lived. Is that what we do? One of the things God the Father had for God the Son was this blind man. Do we see that in the text? One of the things God the Father had for God the Son was this blind man. Why this man? So the works of God may be displayed. We don't know what the things we go through are revealing to the world or building in us or how God gets the glory. Look at this man. Blind his whole life, seemingly, for this moment. I don't know about you, but it makes me think twice about complaining about a headache for a few years. Blind his whole life. He uses this man to reveal his power. He uses this man to make the Pharisees question. We're going to see that next week. He uses this man to reveal how faith grows. He uses this man to get himself to the cross for us all. It's another stepping stone there. We don't know where our paths are leading. It's not on us to know. The Creator of all things knows. What is on us is to walk it out with Him. Now, the actual miracle in our text, it is a strange one, right? Verse 6. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with saliva, and he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sin. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now this reminds me a bit of someone offering to clean off your face, right? When you're a child, it's your mother, your grandmother's, and they're like, "Oh, you got something on your face." And what do? They lick their finger and they're going to just kind of smear it around. No thank you, right? Maybe it's good that this man's blind. He can't see what Jesus is doing in front of him. Like, oh, I'm just going to make some mud with my own spit. Spit in dirt to make mud for his eyes. Why? He could just say, "Now you can see," right? Snap his fingers, whatever words. Or he could just think it, or he could do nothing at all, right? Have the faith take care of it. We've seen that. The Holy Spirit could just take care of it. Why the mud and the trip to the pool? The pool's in your handouts, by the way. It's the same picture. You got the temple and got where the pool is. So it's not at the Temple Mount. It takes some effort to get there. Why? All things by God and in His timing. That's why. Maybe he needs his faith shown, lived out, on display. Maybe he needs this man to take this route to be seen by certain people. What we do know is what he alludes to here. He alludes to creation. Genesis 2:7, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." Ecclesiastes 3:20, "All go to one place, all are from the dust, and to the dust all return." Jesus alludes to creation and recreation. The Creator and Sustainer and very Word of God just recreated this man, just made him new. He makes us all new every day and in every way, and it begins at belief. Never perfect here, never without fallenness and sin here, but always and only made new by God. Also, we have the pool here, the pool of Siloam. This pool was found. They found it in Jerusalem. They know where it is, and it's bigger than they thought. This pool was used in the festivals and in the rituals. It was used for cleansing. We just came out of the Feast of Booths here in our text, which the pool would have been used. Jesus, the ultimate cleanser. So Jesus and the spit and the dirt and the blind man and this pool all combine to give us our miracle and sets the stage for what's to come. Our question is if this is the Jesus that we place our faith in. Do we trust him like this? It's the question we've asked for weeks. Who is he to you? If Jesus is in your life, like he is on our pages, then we ought to bring things to him. We ought to lean in. We ought to help others to lean in. He may not offer mud for what ails you, but he is over what ails you and is with you and will see you through. Can others see Jesus in us? Can others see who Jesus is to us? We ask that because others could see in our text. Seeing is seeing. We're now on the other side of this miracle. This man has been changed forever, both physically and spiritually, as we're going to get to next week. How do we know he's been made new? The witnesses. Our text says neighbors and others who had seen him, whether it be at begging, maybe at the pool, they can't really tell who he is anymore. That's interesting. And I would imagine you would carry yourself differently, being blind since birth and now can see. There's going to be a difference. Maybe the most telling difference is that you wouldn't have to be led anywhere, or you're not having to be helped, or maybe you're looking people in the eyes and noticing them now. Really, the most obvious telling difference is he can see, right? That's the difference. We know this feeling on a smaller scale. We notice a difference in others. Sometimes we can't tell who they are. Haircuts change people, right? New clothes change people. If you live with someone and only see them in sweats forever and ever, and then you get dressed up, it changes a person. The discussion was, can this be that same guy? That's what they're talking about. He answers that he is the same guy, but we know in reality he is not. Once was blind and now can see. Same man, but different. It is the physical healing in our text, but next week it'll be the spiritual healing. How did this happen? That's what they want to know. How did this happen? The man called Jesus. That's the answer to these people asking, just how can this be? Blind your whole life and now can see. Tell us how. The man called Jesus. Two things to see here. First, is that this is the only answer he could give. There were no other options. Blind and yet now see because of him. And that is our only answer too. Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things of your law. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. 1 Timothy 1:15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Blind but now see, lost but now found, a sinner and now a sinner saved because of him. He is the reason and the only reason, the only way, the only light of the world. The only answer to give, and he tells us something else here too. Not only was it because of Jesus, but the blind man also obeyed here. How did this happen? They ask. That's the question. Tell us how. He answered. The man called Jesus, made mud, and anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. Remember, it wasn't a snap of the fingers here or the sound of his voice by which he was healed. It was by faith, as it always is when talking about spiritual healing, which we're going to see next week. But faith included obedience. There's that bad word again. We've been looking at that word for several chapters now. Believe in me, abide in me, remain in me, follow me. It's almost as if faith claimed is only faith if it looks like faith. Amen. That sounds a lot like common sense to me, and yet we balk at that statement. I can can believe in Jesus and live whatever life I want to live. That's the statement the world wants to hear. And that's the statement we accept from many in our own lives. I say accept because, not because we agree, but because we just don't say anything when we hear it. That's not what Scripture teaches. Even in our text this morning about a blind man receiving sight, he had to obey. Go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. No hesitation. Did he know that it would work? Had it already worked? He could not even see Jesus. All he had was his words and obey. All believers today have his words. Just open this book. Not on the shelf, not on the corner table in your room or wherever it is. Open this book. But also his spirit already have sight. But do we obey like we needed to see? Do we obey like we truly believe? And what do I mean by that? Well, Kentucky Wildcats played last night, right? And I could tell by the posts on Facebook that they won. People liked Calipari again for one more week. There are some diehard Kentucky fans. And you know them. They watch like they believe. It could be the worst team in the country. They've got it today. They're my team today. They're going to pull it out. You know some that watch like they don't believe. Like, I'm going to turn it on, but they're going to be terrible. And then there's some that are in between. Die hard. Watch like you believe. Well, here Jesus says, keep my word like you believe. Go and sin no more like you believe. Share my words like you believe. Stand for me like you believe. Take care of one another like you believe. Believe, and to believe looks a certain way. How are we doing? I think is the question. Not are we saved, because believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. But how are we doing? Where do we need help? Look around you. That's what this gathering is for. Reach out. Lean in. We're better together. Let's do it together. And we close this morning with the last question in our text. There's a question here. They say, where is he? This man who delivered your sight, point the way. His answer, I do not know. He will know soon. We'll be there next week. Our question as we close is, do we know? Where is he? Do we know? Can we know? Where is Jesus today? Romans 8, verse 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed is interceding for us. Jesus died and raised and went to the right hand of the Father, and he sent us his Spirit while he intercedes there for us. We know. Jesus paving the way for us, and Jesus standing for us, his Spirit within us, we know. We know if we believe. We also know that faith means we go where he goes. Faith means he prepares a place for us. Faith means we are his. And if you are his, then no matter what you go through here, no matter what drags you down here, you are always his. Just finish Romans 8. We were in verse 34, now verse 38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where we stand as believers. And that's where we want the world to stand. First, are you a sinner saved by the Son of God? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Then, share this faith with everyone we know. do we need to give to God? What do we need from God? Where have we been blind and need to see? Lord Jesus, give us eyes to see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning, and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for this gospel we're walking to together, many, many things revealed to us in the text. And Father, we know it's more about just merely gathering around your word and reading it and then going our own way. Help us be affected by it. Help us be changed by it. Help us to draw strength and courage from it to reach out to others who need it. Father, we know the whole world around us needs your word, needs your Son. Father, help us lean into one another. Help us to build up this place, build up our own passion for your holy word and your holy Son. And help us push out together. We need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.